Welcome back, friends. Welcome back, friends. Conchita, the response lived in the world. And the beautiful holiness, Kathleen Beckman. I've had the great pleasure, great pleasure to have lectures with the priest bringing forward her canonization of. That's in process. That's in the process. So that's why Conchita's on my mind, but not in the show notes here. But and then I'm listening, and I have all these other saints that go in my mind, such as Faustina. There's a reason why we were right. We just we celebrate Divine Mercy, I'm sure. There's a reason it's given to us, right? It's because we need it.
Right, because we need
And
it.
we need to, and it needs to be divine. Because we are in a pickle, right? He doesn't give us things we don't need that are superfluous. Okay. All right.
Only goodness.
Only goodness. Okay. So now we've seen the same response appear in two Carmelite lives that were hidden, enclosed, and shaped within the structure of religious life. So the question remains, well, is this response confined to that setting? Or does it extend beyond it? And so what we, of course, will see is it does indeed extend beyond the cloister. So we turn to the Blessed Conception Cabrera de Almeida, known as Conchita, a wife, a mother, and later a widow, and of course a grandmother, who lived her life in the world with the ordinary demands of family, society, and daily responsibility. And within that, maybe if I remember, I'll put that chart. I have history of Mexico as well, just as a little bit of a refresher as the time frame Conchita had. Okay. She's born in Mexico in 1862 in a country that would experience profound instability and conflict, including tensions between the church and the state that would later intensify into an open persecution. Her life was not marked by separation from the world, but by immersion in it. From an early point, her interior life developed in a serious and sustained way. Her writings, which extend over many years, show a consistent attention to the presence of God and a deepening desire to respond to Him. This response is not theoretical. It is lived within the concrete realities of marriage, motherhood, and loss. After the death of her husband, her life entered a new phase of suffering and offering. What had already been present became more explicit. Her desire to unite herself to Christ, particularly in his suffering, took on a clearer form. What is striking is the intention that governs her response. She expresses a desire to console Christ, to respond to the lack of love, and to offer herself in reparation for those who do not respond. This is not framed as a program or as structured devotion. It is lived as an interior disposition that informs her entire life. So now we have a completely different setting. Sister Mary of St. Peter, the response is given within the cloister and named with precision. In Thérèse of Lisieux, it is interiorized and lived in a hidden love. And in Conchita, it moves into the world, into the life of a family, into the midst of social and political instability. The expression changes, but the movement remains. Conchita offered her life, her suffering, and her daily duties as a response to Christ. She does not withdraw from the world in order to do this. She remains within it. The response is therefore not limited to a particular vocation. It is capable of being lived wherever a soul is attentive and willing to respond. Her writings also show a clear awareness of the state of the world around her. The tensions between the church and society are not abstract, they are lived realities. Within that context, her response takes on a particular intensity. It is not only personal. It is offered in relation to a wider condition. What we see when we consider these lives together is a pattern that is now fully visible. The world moves towards indifference and at times toward open hostility. A response is given that is directed, intentional, and rooted in love. It appears in different places, in different forms, and within different vocations. It is not dependent on a single revelation or a single life. It merges again and again, shaped by the conditions in which it appears. In Conchita, that response is no longer confined to the cloister. It is lived in the home, in suffering, in ordinary duties, and in the midst of a world that is not ordered toward God. This is where the pattern reaches its full expression.
I think that particularly given the intended audience for this show, that concept of consoling is such a feminine gift, right? And I think that it's a an element where the reality of the human nature of Christ really touches the heart of the mother. Really touches that heart string when you and I think that and I'm not saying that it's limited to women because obviously the primary person who had initially spread this was this well, I think it was Leo DuPont who was a man of Tours who after Saint Marie de Pierre's death sister I mean sorry Sister Marie de Pierre's death her writing was suppressed for a while but he had heard of the devotion and began living it, right? So the first external life was a man living this, right? So I'm not saying that it's limited to us necessarily, but that profound element, right, where we see the heart of the mother being touched by the sorrow of the child is one, and I think that we see that really clearly in Saint Therese in her name, right? That she is both the child, the infant Jesus and of the Holy Face, right? There's such a beauty there that should reach our hearts, right? When we see the sorrow of Christ, when we see that image, that profound image, behold the man, ecce homo, right? Where he, the real man of sorrows, when we see that, that should move us to a strong desire to console the sorrows that he carries. And Conchita is also such a good example for us because it's very easy for us to lay this burden only on the people who are religious, right, per se, or have chosen that as a particular vocation. But God, as we said before, is personal. He doesn't just want to have that relationship with people in a cloister. He doesn't only want to have reparations made by people, who are in a vocation. He wants that reparation from all of us because that makes him profoundly real to each of us. And that, I think, is the end goal for him is to have a love. Well, he does have a love for each of us in the particular, but he wants us to engage in that profound personal love with him.
That's exactly right. Lord Jesus, in the life that has already been given to me, do not let me pass through it without response. In what is ordinary, teach me to be attentive. In what is difficult, teach me to offer it. In what would normally go unnoticed, draw me back to you. I bring this present moment to you as it is. I do not set it aside and wait for something different. I ask that it become something real, something given, and something directed. Let what is small be enough if it is offered. Let what is hidden be seen by you, and let this moment not pass without response. Amen. Till the next time, my friends, fides, the